is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 442, and our podcast this week is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing, with me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
It's good to see you again. We've been off for what, 2 weeks? We're off for a week.
So it's the last. Yeah. Ryan went on a snowboarding trip. How was that?
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
You came back in one piece, which is good. My friend, she always just went snowboarding, and she had all these pictures like on her Instagram story of like having fun snowboarding, and then there's one of like a cast on her leg, and it was
Oh man. Yeah. No, I definitely felt older this year. Like my knees, I noticed it a couple times. Like on that last day, I was like feeling a little more comfortable because I'd gotten a brand new board and binding. So like the first day, part of the day, I just was getting used to that feel. And then like last day we had gotten some snow overnight. So like it was a little softer. So I was being a little more adventurous and like going on some like just small roller jumps and stuff. And I was like feeling it when I would land, my knees just stressing more than I've ever felt. And I was like, oh, okay, it's time to stop that.
Yeah. Now, I know you've had your 360 camera, and are we ever going to see any footage of you snowboarding?
Because
like last year you went on the same trip, and we didn't see any footage.
I know. I did use the follow me option this time on my Insta360 camera, and I was pretty happy with the footage. I haven't like really gone into detail with it or done any editing, but it worked pretty well. But I only used it one day because I was like just trying to be in the moment, you know what I mean?
Oh, like, of course. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Stuff. And I was like, I don't want to have to be worried about like this camera, and now I'm just thinking about it as opposed to like just enjoying being out there and doing it. So I got, you know, a couple runs in with it.
But we gotta see some footage, you know. All right. So we can post it out so everybody can check it out. So but yeah, a lot has gone on in the past 2 weeks. Lots of reviews from us, lots of news, tons of stuff going on, and some really interesting stuff as well. And if you guys do want to follow along with everything that we're going to be talking about this week, we do have, of course, our full show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about. So, you know, if you're listening to this and we talk about something, you want to know more, all like everything we talk about, whether it's the reviews, articles, everything is all linked in the show notes. So definitely check out the show notes if you want to reference something. So we'll start out with reviews this week, or actually over the past couple of weeks. Yeah. And I took a look at what I would call a more affordable Ryzen motherboard. So this is the Asus ROG Strix B850A Gaming Wi-Fi. And when you look at this board, this doesn't scream more affordable, does it?
No, not at all. Like, you got a nice white PCB, you got big heat sinks, looks like a lot of nice connectivity on the back. Yeah, this looks nice.
Yeah, so B850, it again is going to be the more affordable option when it comes to new Ryzen builds. And it's again a step down from X870E and X870. And I think for a lot of people, this will check all your boxes. It really will. And it's really nice to see. It's not just Asus, like across the board, you're seeing all of the motherboard brands come out with very attractive B850 motherboards. Previously, you would see these sort of, I wouldn't necessarily call this entry level, but you would see the less expensive chipsets not get like really nice motherboards where it's like, I kind of want the nicer motherboard. I'm going to spend a little bit more money. It's nicer now that, especially on the Ryzen side or the AMD side of things, that the second tier chipsets are getting really nice motherboards. So like Ryan said, and as you can see here, this is an all white motherboard down to the PCB. So a lot of times we might see a white theme motherboard, but the PCB is going to be black. This is all white PCB. It looks amazing. Like if you're doing a white build, this is going to be such an excellent board. It just, like I said, look at it. It looks awesome. Yeah. And that's really great to see again on such a mid-range style motherboard here. And this has a lot of the Asus features that we've seen on a lot of higher end boards. One of those being the M.2 slot. It has basically this white piece right here. You just loosen that or pull it over and the whole thing lifts up and you have access to your M.2 slots. Love to see that. This is a larger heatsink too, made for Gen 5 storage, which of course this motherboard does support. And then when you take all of the heatsinks off, all of the M.2 slots are completely toolless, which is great. So you don't have to worry about those little screws, which we all lost. I've lost a ton in the past. And as you can see, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 M.2 slots on this board, which is really great to see. And our PCI Express slot, as you can see, it's metal reinforced, but it does have there no button, but easy to remove system. I love this. I showed it off on their X or their, was it Z890 Hero motherboard, which I absolutely loved as well. And that is called the, what is that called? The PCIe slot Q Release Slim, long name for something. Yep. You have your graphics card installed in the slot. So be in your slot right here. And if you pull up on it, the graphics card is not going to come out. If you pull it one way, it's not going to come out. But if you pull it towards the front of your case, like you pull the card this way, it just releases. There's no button. You'll see, like previously Asus did the button where you had to press the button and it releases. This just works and it's the simplest thing. Like I can't wait till this, we'll see this on more and more boards. It's great that you get it on here as well. The two bottom heat sinks do have screws on them, which is, we'll get to a point where we see completely no screws. But again, under the hood, you are going to go ahead and get these little tabs here, which make it super easy to install your M.2s here. As far as your power delivery, it is a little bit cut down compared to something like an X870E. So it's a 14+2+2 power phase design with 80 amp power stages and the alloy chokes here. Definitely going to be fine if you're running even a Ryzen 9 processor at stock speeds. If you're not doing crazy overclocking, this is going to be more than enough for you. And you can see that it is covered here, of course, with our large heat sinks. And then coming to the rear I/O here, you can see we have quite a lot of USB. You're getting USB 3.2 Gen 2, and you're getting another Type-C, which is just USB 3.2 Gen 1. And a bunch of other USBs, 2.5 gig LAN. You're also getting Wi-Fi 7 on this board as well. So lots of connectivity. Of course, the big thing that you're not seeing here is going to be USB 4 or Thunderbolt. You're not getting that here. But I think overall, the connectivity is going to be really good for what you want here. Like I said, I like the design and layout of the board itself. And then when we come to lighting, there's just a single, we're getting like less and less lighting on boards, but you're just getting the ROG logo right there. And that just lights up. And there are three RGB headers on the board too. So if you did want to add your own type of RGB lighting to your case, you can go ahead and do that and connect it to the board. Now, one thing I was a bit disappointed with, and it's getting to that point sometimes with certain products, with Asus's Armory Crate, I always feel like it's kind of bloated and, you know, it worked. I had it on, I had it installed. It shows our board and everything. But then when I click on motherboard settings, this button right here, I press that, this is what comes up. I just get an error. So I uninstalled, I reinstalled, it's the same thing. I did it twice, still same thing. A little bit disappointed on the Armory Crate. Now, as far as performance goes, this is a great board. Performance-wise, no issues at all when it came to really performance. Everything ran well. The board has a really nice layout. Nothing was out of place. And then, you have all of that connectivity. You have Gen 5 for storage. You also have Gen 4 storage on your M.2s. You have USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. You have Wi-Fi 7, like you have everything that you kind of want. There's not much missing unless you wanted some crazy high-end feature like 10 gig LAN or you wanted really, really heavy-duty VRM. But I think if you're looking at a B850 board,
yeah,
I think you're going to be fine overall. There are, now, for some people, there's only two SATA ports. I don't see that as, at least for me, this day and age, I don't see that as being big of a deal. You're getting four M.2s.
Right. And your price parity is so close anyways, right? Like, you use up those M.2s, and then if you need them, some really big hard drives, I guess, attached to SATA.
Yeah. But I think for what this board is, $239.99, I think it's a solid price, especially considering white PCB, everything kind of matches. Good performance, lots of connectivity. Again, those high-end features that are missing, you know, like the Thunderbolt 4 and the heavier duty VRM, I think most people won't necessarily miss those specific features. So check out the review. Like I said, I gave it a 9 out of 10. Definitely. It's nice to see more affordable Ryzen motherboards that basically look like a high-end board. I really, really love that. So yeah, go ahead and check that out. I also had the chance to take a look at a Radeon RX 9070. So first 9070 series card that I had a chance to take a look at. And this one was from ASRock. This is their Steel Legend. And I have to say, just like in general, I was super excited to test this card because we've been hearing so much about AMD and we wanted another player in the new GPU market, because we really wanted, you know, competition, and we didn't want all of these crazy prices and all. We just wanted something. So I was like really excited. I was like, will this actually be a viable candidate against NVIDIA, right? Would this be viable against what it's supposed to be against, which would be the RTX 5070? And I have to say that it really is. Nice. In most scenarios, it beat the 5070 in raw performance. In most other performance, the 5070 will beat it a little bit in ray tracing performance, as NVIDIA typically does. But overall, it's a solid choice against the RTX 5070, especially if you were going to push it in high texture 4K scenarios. The card's not made for 4K, but if you were pushing that, because it does have 16 gigabytes of VRAM, where the 5070 does not. So there are a lot of really good things in general with the 9070. Now, the Steel Legend that we took a look at from ASRock, they're offering this card and they're offering one other card. And this is sort of like their aftermarket card when it comes to the 9070. It's their white design card. So this would go perfect with that ASUS motherboard that we just showed you. Triple fan cooling solution. And I would say, like, ASRock's the one that has all the RGB lighting these days. You can see the fans do light up. You get Steel Legend there. So in the cooling solution, Ryan, is I was like really impressed. In the past, we've seen AMD cards be very loud. This card is not loud at all. Excellent cooling solution. Does a great job cooling, but it's super, super quiet, even during like high loads. Very quiet. Really, really impressed with the cooling solution. So really, really like that. Of course, this is a non-NVIDIA card, so we don't have a 12 VHPWR. We just have 2 8-pin PCI Express, so you don't have to like get an adapter. You don't need a new power supply or anything like that. It's all right there. There is, if you don't like the RGB lighting or you just want to turn it off, there is a physical switch right here on the card, so you can just turn them off if you don't want them on. Full coverage metal backplate, of course, with the opening for the pass-through cooling. And as far as like how thick the card is, it's 2.9 slots. So you essentially want 3 slots available. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it from the side, a lot of that is going to be the cooling solution, which is 2 large heatsink stacks, multiple heat pipes, and everything like that. And you can go through the review and check out all of our, we've tested a ton of games, a ton of different benchmarks. It does so, so well. Again, one of the things that I did want to reiterate is the noise level compared to all of the other cards that we tested. It is the best when it comes to noise levels compared to everything else that we tested. So just a great overall card. And I really think, and I really want to get a 9070 XT in as well to test it against the 5070 Ti, because I do think that AMD definitely has something here. Initially, I kind of thought that AMD was, I wasn't the biggest fan of them targeting like that one segment. You know what I mean, Ryan? Right.
Yep.
But they've done a really good job. They've priced these aggressively. Maybe not as aggressive as I would like. The only thing I would say I don't like about the 9070 is that it's 50. Well, the MSRP cards are $50 difference, right? So for $50, it's better to get the XT. Like it kind of diminishes the 9070 non-XT. I mean, if you were buying a card, wouldn't you just pay the extra 50?
Yes. Yeah. That's such a little amount of money for the increase you're getting. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So like I said, I really, really like the performance of this card. I like the thermals. I like the noise level. I like everything. And it's definitely a viable option. Great card for 1440p in general. 1080p high frame rate. You can definitely do it. I didn't even talk about AMD FSR 4, which we did test as well. Let's see if we can bring that up. FSR 4 is their upscaling tech. And again, this does have frame generation, much like DLSS. And in this iteration of it, it's actually pretty easy to enable. You enable it within the AMD Adrenaline software, and then you enable it in your game. Pretty easy to go ahead and do. And you can see we tested it at Horizon Zero Dawn. So no FSR 4 scores 91 frames per second. Then we have FSR 4 enabled, but without frame generation, and we get 125 FPS. So definitely a nice bump. But then we enable frame generation and we get 194 FPS. So you can see it's essentially doubling your frame rate. So if your game does support FSR 4, really easy to, you know, if you were somebody who maybe is who is playing something at 1080 and you want to upscale it to 1440, you're going to have no problem doing that, right? Or want to take advantage of a 4K, new 4K monitor and all of that, you'll be able to do that. And these are all tested at 4K, by the way. So you can see the type of frame rates you can get if you are going to enable SFR4. And the implementation, at least for me, was quite easy. So I didn't have any issues. I know some people talked about issues, but at least with Horizon Zero Dawn, no issues at all when it came to any of that. So really, really like this card. Like I said, I think the biggest thing is pricing availability. And we have seen with AMD, unfortunately, just like NVIDIA, that these cards are gone.
I know. We were really hoping they'd have taken advantage of that extra time. They did have a lot at the start, but
I feel like
not enough for the masses.
So the big difference between the AMD launch and the NVIDIA launches has been essentially you had to be a lucky person to get NVIDIA card, whether scalpers got them or whatever, right? Like you had to be there at that time hitting buy. You had to be like one of like a handful of people to be able to get the either fit, you know, all the way down 5090, 5080, 5070, Ti 5070. Like you had to be there to get them.
Right.
With the 9070s and 9070 XTs, you could be like 15 minutes after they went on sale and you still were able to find one.
Right. Maybe not the one you wanted, but yeah, one.
But you could still get one, which again, that there were a lot available. I just think they should be $100 difference in price, not 50. It just diminishes the.
So would you rather have the XT more expensive or the seven, just the playing card less expensive, or maybe split it in half?
Playing card less expensive.
Okay.
I think that, I mean, yeah, that's what I would do. Now, the ASRock card itself, $639.99, which is only a $90 premium, which isn't horrible. We've seen premiums on the NVIDIA side go much higher.
Yeah.
So I like I said, I like this card and I like ASRock's implementation here. So definitely a fan. I need to get a 9070 XT in so I can take a look at that. And
yeah, it'd be a good comparison.
Yeah, it'd be a really good comparison. But it is really, really refreshing to see choice now. We have choice, you know, with the 5090, 5080. There's no other choice in that performance level and price, really. So So yeah, so definitely check out that review. Had a lot of fun doing that. We'll move on to memory. I took a look at a memory kit from a company that I've never reviewed a product from. So this is our first kind of look at this brand. And this is from Clev. And this is their Urbane VRGB. This is a DDR5 kit. The kit that we took a look at is 7600 megahertz, 32 gigabyte kit. So perfect. It's going to be really perfect for Intel systems. And these are all white. And that's got, that is the only color option that is available, is going to be all white.
Have you ever looked at Clev's stuff before?
No, this is the first product, like I said.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, first.
I've always liked their stuff. Like,
yeah, I've always been a big fan. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty like matte white color here on the heat spreaders, black PCB, and then like all the logos and stuff. They're all going to be like this sort of light gray. Looks pretty good overall. And then the top of these, where the diffuser is for the RGB memory, there's like this sort of like chrome style divider and a small little Clev logo. So these are pretty like not crazy looking. One thing I do like about them, you can kind of see it here, is that the edges are rounded, so you don't get like the as much of a boxy look, which I kind of like actually. If you want to see what these look like all lit up, here is what they look like. So pretty nice lighting on these, and again, that divider just kind of divides that lighting up. So yeah, I think they look good all lit up here. Performance-wise, they perform quite good. I tested them in a Z890 test system. Again, for 7600 megahertz, you're going to need something like that. These aren't necessarily going to run on an AMD system per se. Again, you'd have to fiddle with them yourself. But they do offer these, I believe, and I think it's 6,000 all the way up to 8,400. So if you get a 6,000 or 6,400 megahertz kit, you'll be fine. No problem on AMD. And then when it came to overclocking, I was able to get these up to 7,933 megahertz without touching voltage and without touching timings. So almost 8,000 megahertz without touching anything, overclocking, which is quite good on these. And again, no issues. The heat spreaders were great, so no issues with temperatures or anything like that. Yeah, so like I said, no real issue. The only issue is that this specific kit I cannot find for sale anywhere.
Oh.
You can find 6,000 and 6,400 megahertz kits, which are $97.99 and $98.99 respectively. But I couldn't find the 7600 megahertz kit for sale anywhere, whether it was Amazon, Newegg, only those two kits. So keep that in mind, but a solid overall kit, definitely different looking RGB compared to some other ones that we've seen as well. So just a good kit if you're looking for a new DDR5 kit. So, and it was fun to check out a Clev product because I've kind of admired Clev from afar. And now I was able to take a look at one of the products. And then finally, I took a look at probably the most, there's no logos on this, which I kind of like.
Unique. I saw this.
Yeah.
Most of it. I was like, huh. All right. So
this is from SK Hynix. If you didn't know, they do make like retail products. They're not just making DRAM or NAND and controllers and stuff like that. So this is their Beetle X31, which is a portable SSD. And as you can see from the picture, well, I really like that there's like no SK Hynix logo on this, on this top part.
It's very unique that there's nothing there.
And it's supposed to be, I think this would have looked so much cooler, but it's supposed to be cool. Designed like a Beetle. That's why it's called the Beetle X31. This is USB 3.2 Gen 1 or Gen 2, I mean, sorry. So this is going to be up to 1,000 megabytes a second and available from 512 to 2 terabyte. I reviewed the 512. And it's in this gold color, which you can see is like this sort of like reflective gold. The outer casing is going to be made of aluminum as well. That's what the bottom looks like. It does have some rubber feet on it, which is, you don't see as much on a lot of portable SSDs. So it's nice. I actually kind of like that.
I like that.
Type-C for connectivity and power, little activity LED right there. Not much to it. And it does come with this like little bumper that you can put around it if you did want to protect it from getting scratched, or you want to protect other devices around it from getting scratched from it or anything like that. It has this little clear bumper that you can put on there. Performance-wise, again, it's USB 3.2 Gen 2. So it's going to perform right around 1,000 megabytes a second. That's how we, you know, that's what we tested, and that's how it performed. No problems at all. No issues with this. One thing I didn't mention, which we're not seeing as much anymore, but it does come with both USB-C to USB-C and a USB-C to USB-A. A lot of the ones these days are just going to give you USB-C. So for all legacy people who might not have a Type-C, it's nice to get the Type-A in there as well. So you do get that with this. Pricing wise, what do I have here? So the 512 gigabyte is $50, 1 terabyte is $90, and 2 terabyte is $170. So decent pricing there on this as well. So if you're looking just for like a solid portable SSD, this one is really good. Now you have to keep in mind there are USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 drives. If you have a 2x2 connection, you might want to get one of those. This is not available in that. So something to keep in mind, but really like the drive. And like I said, I love portable storage, and I love that they didn't put their logo on the front. I don't know. You don't see that as much. So it's really nice to see that. Moving on from there, announced today, we have a contest, Ryan. We're running a contest.
I saw that.
So we haven't had a contest in a while. And I was like, well, we gotta get back to
get one back.
Yeah. Give back to all you guys who watch the podcast and everybody who comes to the site. So we're doing our $50 gift card giveaway. We're bringing it back. So easy to win this $50 gift card of your choice. So it can be any of these that are up here. It can be anything that I can buy you a gift card online for. I'll buy you a gift card online. Super easy to enter, a bunch of ways to enter, running this for only 2 weeks. So get your entry in. And again, tons of different ways to enter. Yeah, just want to get back to you guys. So all the links are on our socials or it's in the show notes. Get your entry in for that for sure. Moving on from that, we did miss 2 weeks. So we're going to go over Case Mod Friday builds, but we're going to go over them quickly because there's two of them and we have a bunch of news to get to as well. So first, one of my favorite builders, and Ryan knows this, Sneff Computer Design. This is his MORA4200 build. And this is really, really cool because this is like essentially, let me bring up. So essentially you have your computer over here and then you have your external water cooling over here. We've seen some of these builds and we feature some of these builds before. What do you think of this type of style, Ryan?
I mean, I like them as display pieces and like custom builds like this. And really, if you think about it, like most people aren't carting their rig around. So maybe it makes sense to have like two pieces there and it looks cool. There's just some practicality items there, like for everyday use, especially if you're moving your system around much, that becomes more complicated. But in this type of build, I think it looks really awesome.
Yeah, also, obviously, this is like a custom fabricated case by Sneff. I believe this piece is from the brand. They actually make this.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, awesome build. Like I love the style. And then they have the heat killer GPU block there, which looks excellent with this.
Of course, it has frosted tubing, so you're in love with it.
I am in love with it. Looks awesome.
It does look good. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can see how all the tubing connects and will go into here. But yeah, I really like this one.
That's a lot of like hex heads.
Yeah, to put all those in. On. Yeah, you better have like a little screwdriver that does it.
Yeah, you better. Yeah, you're gonna be tired.
Instead of like an Allen key. Yeah. But yeah, just a great build overall. Really, really like this one. So definitely check this one out. Shout out to Sneff Computer Design for that one. And then the second one is a little different, completely different type of build. So is the wood workstation from Mayhem Mods. And this is done inside the Be Quiet Silent Based 802. And they've just done some wood accents. And this essentially is more of a build than a mod because the mods are like the wood accents, but everything else is essentially stock in this. And I think a lot of people love this type of thing.
I mean, I feel like this could just be a case that Be Quiet comes out with, right?
Yeah,
because it looks so good. Maybe I'm not a huge fan of the perforation pattern. I'd maybe do something a little different if I was making this an actual product, but yeah, it looks like it could be a case that a manufacturer comes out with.
Yeah, so essentially what he's done is he's just like fashioned these custom panels, wood panels, and then everything else inside is kind of stock. Again, there's a wood paneling accent on the GPU support bracket as well, but overall,
what motherboard is that? Is that huge Asus board?
Yes. Yes, because this is like a high-end
desktop. It's a very big case, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see. Man, I miss my quad channel memory days. Really? When I had my high-end desktop PC. Yeah. I had like Corsair Dominator in there, so like it just looks so good overall.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, this is a sweet build. And again, this is a really high-end system too, but awesome woodwork from this. So shout out to Mayhem Mods for that one. And of course, you can check all these out in our Case Mod Friday section. So you just go to Case Mod Friday, and then you can essentially doom scroll this for a long time. So if you wanted to, they just continually pop up. So yeah, 540 posts. So there's a lot of cases if you want to check those out. Now we'll move on to news. And this, we'll first talk about GPU market in general. Essentially, mm-hmm. You can't get anything, and you can't get it at the price.
Price.
Now, if you went to GTC this past week, you could buy. NVIDIA had a food truck that was selling,
like Founders Edition cards or
Founders Edition cards. So, if you went to GTC, if you work for a company that was at GTC, or you went to GTC, and they were sold out of 5090s the first day, I believe. But,
oh my gosh.
But besides that, you can't get any cards for any MSRPs. The market is essentially the same place the last time we talked about the GPU market, which is kind of sad. But we do see that Zotac has raised prices of their 5090s as well. Tariffs coming up, everything else that's going on, supply, demand. It looks like the Solid OC is now priced at $2,700. And the Amp Extreme Infinity is 3,000. And again, these are 5090s. And there's no MSRP card at all from Zotac anymore. MSI increased prices, so did Asus. It just seems like Zotac is following suit. And this is kind of where we're at. And we have no, just like we've talked about, I talked about in our reviews of these graphics cards, is like, what NVIDIA says is the MSRP. Currently, and even on the AMD side, we're starting to see that. I don't know if that's going to be as bad, but at least currently, this is kind of where we're at. And it's no fault to any of the AIBs, I'd say, for the most part, either.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, and just real quickly, I'll go over it. I feel like NVIDIA sets an MSRP. AIBs have to make an MSRP card. They essentially either break even or make no money or lose money on that MSRP card. Yep. And then they don't make it anymore because they need to, they are a business. They need to make money. That's my two cents. That's how I feel about it, but I could be wrong, but I don't know. I don't know how you feel about how.
No, it's probably pretty accurate. Yeah. I just like, I don't know. You like free market is a thing. Right. And I think usually is a good thing, but it just feels like it's, I don't know. You also want like a regulation or somebody to be like, no, you can't, like, you have to keep making more of these and you have to sell them at a price that you said was their price. Right. So but you can't have both sides. So,
yeah. So, but talking about that, NVIDIA is going to be coming out with the 5060 Ti and the 5060. It looks like the release dates have been pushed back. So the launch date for the 5060 Ti will be April 16th, with the 5060 in mid-May. 5060, $299. In both of these, or the 5060 Ti will have 8 GB and 16 GB variant. So if you wanted the 16 GB variant, you could get it. I just hope these are available, like the same thing. And again, I hope like
It's gonna be a repeat. It's gonna be the same thing. There will be
every time we see these, there's none available, and then there's like no MSRP card available. Cause like, right. Oh, like this looks, you know, 5060 Ti 449 or 399 to 449, like expected price. Like that's more affordable for a lot of people. They're like, oh, right. I'm gonna get it for that. But then
that price is gonna be a $600 to $700 card, probably.
Yeah, and like at that price point, like, is it worth it? Same thing with the 5060, like $299 expected price. Like, are you gonna be able to get a card for $300 or yeah. So that's kind of what, and it does look like Nvidia pushed this back. I would hope they pushed it back to allocate, like or give AIBs more time to allocate parts. So on launch, you can buy these, but we'll see. And we'll obviously keep you guys updated on all of that.
I mean, I think your best bet is to get to like a Micro Center or something.
Yes.
Super early.
Yeah. Just make it an adventure. Just, you know, camp out if you really want the car.
Just think about that. Camp out for the card that is what, 5 down from the top in this launch. You're not getting the 5090. You're not getting a 5080, a 5070 Ti or 5070. You're there for the 5060 Ti camped out.
It is fun though.
Two in the morning.
Like it, you mean?
Yeah, but that's like, not fun to get the. I got the number 5 card and had to.
But maybe that's a card you want. That's a card you can afford. You know,
maybe.
Talking about NVIDIA, they have updated the NVIDIA app, and they've added some interesting things. And one thing, I don't know, it was last podcast or the podcast before we were talking about something like this. They added G-Assist, which is their AI, and they've given, like, we have a bunch of videos in the article. You can see how G-Assist can help you. It's like a ChatGPT, but it can do stuff, like, in games and help you with your graphics card and game. So check out all the videos about that. But the other thing that they did add is DLSS override. So instead of configuring your game for DLSS, you can just override it within
the app.
Yeah, within the app. So like you can set your DLSS mode and then your resolution scaling within the driver. So like you don't have to do it in the game, which is nice. I really like that. And I'm sure we'll see that on the AMD side eventually as well. So that's kind of the big thing about this story for me is that G-Assist, I don't know if I'd use it, but there are a bunch of things you can do with it. So if you want to make use of it, it is there. So I think it's a good thing. So yeah, that's the NVIDIA stuff. Talking about GPU stuff though, I didn't see the first version of this for some reason, and they came out with the second version. This is the WireView Pro GPU from Thermal Grizzly. Essentially, it's a little GPU adapter, an angled adapter, but it has a bunch of sensors on it and headers on it. So it looks like this. For your NVIDIA graphics card, there's 12VH PWR here and a bunch of other sensors and stuff on it. This is what it looks like installed, and it gives you all of the data running through your cables, which is awesome. Really nice implementation of this as well, I think. And I'm a fan.
Yeah.
What do you think? Yeah. What do you think?
No, I like this a lot. I mean, you have to take into consideration like some like angles. It's not going to work. I wouldn't think it's going to work on like a Founders Edition card because didn't they go?
Yeah.
So you've got to think about some things like that. But where you can use this, I think it's great. And it's very useful information.
Yes. Yeah, it has like I said, this is an OLED screen. Now,
what I'd really like is if you, and maybe it does this, is if there's an application that runs with this that ties that monitoring into your OS or something. Because you're not looking over at your GPU all the time, right? You may look every now and then for whatever reason. But like, I want this reporting on my monitor if something goes haywire.
Yeah, I think these two would be sensor. I don't know what this one would be.
Because that's not a standard, like, it looks like a 4-pin, but...
What, yeah, I don't know what connects to that one. Because they show, like, you get two thermal sensors on this. But I don't know what that last one's for. I don't know if that's I don't think that'd be a connection to the motherboard for something like that. And there's no USB header on this, so I'm not sure. But yeah, I get what you're saying. But I like I said, I like this little implementation. Pretty cool. Definitely like that from Thermal Grizzly. And then from there, big thing, and we saw it a little bit at CES with Lenovo telling us that they're going to be the first device that's a non-Steam Deck to run SteamOS.
Yep.
And Valve just their latest version of SteamOS will be compatible with other devices. And I think a lot of brands are really, really excited for this. So this was first kind of unveiled SteamOS 3.7 preview, being available and able to run on other devices. So that's awesome. And somebody was already able to get it to run on the ROG Ally.
Sweet.
Where is it? Here we go. So somebody was able to get it to run on the ROG Ally, and they ran different benchmarks. So SteamOS running on the ROG Ally, which again is a Windows-based gaming handheld. And if you look at some of the performance differences, it's not crazy, but you can see how Windows affects performance. Yeah. If you look absolutely. At this, Cyberpunk 2077, 36 FPS on Windows 11, SteamOS 42 FPS. Tetris Effect, 46 FPS on Windows 11, 61 FPS on SteamOS. Forza Horizon 5, 53 FPS on Windows 11, 59 FPS on SteamOS. And again, this isn't like optimized. This is somebody who put this on the ROG Ally. It's not Asus putting this on there and then optimizing themselves, right?
It's so much less overhead to run SteamOS than Windows, you know? That's what, minimum of 10% increases in frames there, looks like.
Yeah, so really, really awesome. We have the video in the article if you want to check it out. You're going to see this more often. Also, a lot more like you can see here, like enabling certain things and frame rate. Like there's a lot more options within SteamOS than Windows as well. So yeah, really excited for this. And I think a lot of brands are pretty excited about this as well. HP says that they're considering entering the handheld gaming market with a SteamOS device, that they would possibly do it. They say that Windows is sort of like they don't want to make a Windows-based gaming device, but yeah, they would do it on SteamOS. I think for a lot for performance and everything like that. And you have to remember, nobody remembers this. This is like a long time ago, but Steam had these things called Steam machines, right? Mm-hmm. And they were essentially a console replacement that was a PC that would sit in front of your TV. Yeah. I reviewed one from Alienware actually way back in the day, and Steam did this for a long time. And then they kind of faded out because nobody was really, I don't know, like it's a pretty big investment.
It didn't catch on.
Yeah, it didn't catch on.
But for whatever reason.
Yeah, for whatever reason, they didn't catch on. So I think that you're going to see every major brand have a mobile game. I mean, we've seen almost every major brand have one anyways because of how popular. But you're going to see a SteamOS-based gaming device from essentially every brand now because the experience is going to be better, less hoops to jump through. Also, the licensing, I guess, for SteamOS would be a lot less expensive.
Yep.
So again, it's going to be like $100 less for your gaming handheld too. Old man in the chat, which is again good to see you here, old man. He said, "Isn't SteamOS just another version of Linux?" Yeah, it's a version of Linux that's essentially just made to run Steam. I played with it a lot during the Steam Machine days, and I assume it's gotten far better. And that's what runs on Steam Deck. And I think this just makes sense for Valve overall. It's just going to make everything better, I think.
Yeah.
And I mean, what would you think? HP would do an Omen, HP Omen handheld?
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense, right?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Old man in the chat says maybe SteamOS can eat into Windows market share, particularly for gaming PCs. A lot of people aren't happy with Windows 11 and would love an alternative that's user friendly. Yeah, I don't know if it would evolve into like desktop as much, because beyond gaming, you have to do a lot of other things. But for these game, for these mobile gaming devices, I think it's the perfect thing. It's a lot more lightweight. You don't need all the other things. So yeah, pretty interesting to see where this kind of goes. And what we'll see going forward when it comes to that. Talking about mobile gaming consoles, the Retroid Pocket Flip 2 is available for pre-order. What do you think of this thing, Ryan?
It's not bad. It, like, the purple reminds me of some old school Nintendo consoles and color schemes. And
it's not that expensive.
How much was it? It's like $199 or something.
The higher end model is $219. That's with a Snapdragon 865. And again, this isn't made for like.
I like that. It's a good size screen. You've got, because I have, I forget the company now. I bought one of those like little like emulator devices, right? And it's just, it's too small. This looks big enough and has, you know,
this runs Android. You know, it's not like, and again, this is kind of what you would use it for. But I mean, this one, I like this one right here. The ice blue. I think that looks awesome.
I like the 16-bit US as well, though. Kind of that PlayStation color scheme look.
You mean
the game? Yeah, the purple is the GC for GameCube. Like,
yeah, these look nice. I have to say, I think like I might get back into this mobile gaming thing. I don't know. We'll see. Right. Just like to kill some time. I think it's definitely definitely something cool. But these are definitely cool. We have the links if you want to pick one of these up. And again, these are made to run emulators and things like that. They're not, you know, this is not something like an ROG Ally, but pretty cool. Pretty cool little device. And definitely a lot more affordable than something like a Steam Deck as well. Yes. And this is something that I saw and we had a post about it because I thought it was super cool. I thought this is like something Ryan would have in his room. This is a Raspberry Pi 5 wall arcade that has an ROG or it has a RGB LED matrix display. It looks really cool. Like,
I mean, it's neat. I would not have it in my room, but really? It's cool.
That's cool, man. It's, like, yeah. That just and then, like, it's just sitting on your wall, kind of just looks like, you know.
Sure. Looks like it could just be like some sort of animated art piece, but then you can like interact with it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. And it's all running on like a very inexpensive Raspberry Pi and these low resolution RGB LED matrix displays. Like, I think it looks pretty cool. And you can see how it's all kind of put together just there.
All in one. Yep.
Yeah. Just like there's the Raspberry Pi right there. Like, it's not all that crazy.
I was gonna say it looks like it's a 3D printed components, and it looks like that's what it said up there. It was some 3D printed.
Yeah, so we have the links if you want to check it out. It was done by John Park. That's the person's name who did it. So but yeah, super cool. Just really, really cool. And we're gonna start featuring more stuff like this, I think, because I think stuff like that's really, really cool. So awesome there. And then did you ever play Painkiller, the game?
It sounds familiar.
FPS game was pretty popular for a while. They're bringing it back. I never got into Painkiller. I did play it a little bit. One of my good friends, Fatality, he played it professionally for a while, so I played with him for a little bit.
Yeah, looking at the like old box art and stuff, I remember it, but I did not play it.
Yeah, so they're bringing it back. It's a reimagining of the classic FPS franchise. So it looks pretty good. Like, I mean, it looks like a fun FPS. Yeah. So we'll see. Definitely had a lot of fans back in the day. And it was a game that was played professionally, too. So you have a lot of people who definitely know about this game. So we'll see.
It looks much like a Doom style.
Yeah, that's kind of how it was. Game, yeah. Very, very much like that.
Hey, look at that battery charger there.
This comes out in the fall of 2025 on all consoles as well as PC. on Steam. So we'll see if it catches on or if it's good or anything like that. We'll definitely, maybe we'll have to get it and play it. We'll see. But that is it for the news. Lots of stuff going on. Lots of interesting things. I'm really excited to see if we're going to see more SteamOS devices, I think.
Yeah, maybe we'll see a resurgence of like set-top SteamOS boxes, right? That hook up to TVs. Because, I mean, you can... Because Steam used to have the... what was it? Steam Link, right? Yeah. Where it connects to your PC, like... that'd be cool.
But like, even if you didn't, even if you had a dedicated little piece, not even little, but like, I mean, I guess it would be little because again, if you think about the handheld, the
hardware that's exactly, yeah, even like, if it was just a little bigger than that, like the size of like an old like Wii or something, right?
You could have, I mean, obviously you could have ones that are really expensive that have like dedicated GPUs, but again, you can have like the Ryzen AI chips for something that's just going to play games on your TV. Yeah, we could see. We'll see what happens when this whole thing opens up. Maybe it will come back.
Maybe.
We'll definitely see on that. Talking about what we have coming up next week, I have a new keyboard to check out. This one is from Asus. This is their ROG Falchion Ace HFX 65% keyboard here, 800 hertz polling rates. It supports like all the what do they call that
stuff?
Hall effect stuff. Yeah, it has like all that kind of snap tap and all that kind of stuff you can do with this. Really small, lots of interesting features on this one. So I'll be taking a look at that. Also taking a look at another portable SSD, and this one does have the company name on it. But this one does come with the integrated cable, so you don't have to worry about your cable. And it looks like their website's down, so I can't even show it to you. Yeah, service unavailable. Look, if you try to go to the website. But it's the ADATA SC40. It's a little portable SSD that has an integrated cable, type C cable, so you never without your cable. USB 3.2 Gen 2. So again, 1,000 megabytes a second. So I'll have that for you guys as well. So yeah, that's what's kind of coming up next week. Old man in the chat says, I bought a Sapphire Pulse 9070 XT from Newegg. It costs over $9,940 bundled with a power supply. I did see a bundle. I think you told me, old man, or somebody told me about, and I saw somebody on X was talking about they weren't selling just like a single 9070. Like you had to buy two. That was the bundle. What? It was just two 9070s. That was the bundle.
Just asking for someone to just sell the extra for more.
Like, yeah. It was just weird how they were doing that. But yeah, that Sapphire Pulse looked like a great card too. So hopefully you're happy with that. And glad that you got one as well. Even though you had to buy it with a power supply. What power supply was with it?
Yeah, wattage and
yeah,
brand and everything.
Let us know about that. We do have a question of the week this week. Oh, well, actually, before we get to... Let's do the question of the week first.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the question of the week is, since Ryan went on a trip, I have some trips coming up. Mm-hmm. What is a piece of travel tech that's been really, like, you couldn't travel without it? Like, what is that piece of tech for you?
So I brought too much with me, like always. But it's like portable batteries. And I had one that I had gotten off of Amazon and actually created some content about. But it's like just a little, you know... It's probably twice the size of that SSD that you reviewed, right?
Yeah.
But it's got multiple connections on it, has a little screen on it that shows your battery life, right? And so I kept it in my backpack with me because I had that camera that we talked about earlier. And it can chew through batteries, and especially when it's really cold, like those, your battery life is not good. And you're recording like 5K, 360 degree video, like you can chew through batteries. So I kept it in my bag with me, you know, just compact, power to bring along with you. Batteries. I brought an external SSD, but I didn't end up using it just because at the end of the night I was so tired. Really, it's portable power.
I do think that's the biggest thing. Like, you, everybody has devices and you need portable power is the biggest thing. Another thing that, like, I got one of these, I've had a couple of these. So this little thing right here, like you guys can see, like this.
Yeah, just, that would be handy.
This is a this is a charging station. It's type C. Where's the type C? Type C is on the back. And it lifts up And this is all metal too, which is nice. Yeah, so I charged my phone. This pulls out. I charge my, like, I'm an Apple person, so I charge my watch. And then back here, we'll charge AirPods or anything wirelessly can charge back here as well. So these are, like, so convenient because when you travel, it's like,
yeah, that's nothing.
It's so small and it takes up no space and you charge three devices. But portable batteries are, like, that is the thing.
Yeah, and I have, it's in the other room. But I have, like, this Basis charger, the one that you have one as well, right? It has, like, a MagSafe charger on it. It has a retractable USB Type-C cable. It's got multiple ports on the front. Like, yeah, it's compact, but you can charge multiple things with it. So really, that's the biggest piece of tech that I've really been using, at least for travel, is just power sources.
Yeah,
especially when, like, we got two iPads with us, my son's phone, me and my wife's phones, a laptop, cameras.
Yeah,
it adds up real quick.
Oh yeah, it definitely does. Old man in the chat says the power supply that came bundled was the Corsair RMX series RM750X. So that's a solid power supply. I actually have one of those. So yeah, solid power supply. At least it wasn't some, like, no name where, like, you know what I mean?
Just, like, has to throw it out.
Yeah,
you don't, like, you don't want to risk that purchase with
plug-in. Yeah, but also talking about tech stuff. So anything tech related on your side?
Well, I can't remember if I had gotten this new GPU in since we met or last talked. I don't think that I had.
I don't think you had it installed it.
So either way, I got a 5080 MSI 5080 Vanguard.
Nice.
Been pretty happy with it. I haven't spent a lot of time using it, unfortunately. I've been busy. We were gone for a week on a trip. I had some issues with drivers at first, right? It was doing the whole 5080 black screen issue. And
so Ryan gets this 5080.
I should go further into it. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah,
Ryan gets this 5080. And then he was like, oh man, I'm having that black screen issue. If you guys don't remember, a lot of people were installing 50 series graphics cards and then they would get a black screen and they couldn't figure it out. They had to switch the port or turn the port to PCI Express 4, not 5. Like, there was a lot of issues. And I was like, oh man, like, because I've tested all 50 series cards here and I've never had that issue. I'm like, that's crazy that you had that issue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I
forgot about this part that you're gonna tell.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm like, he's like, yeah. Ryan's like, yeah. Like, I put it. I changed the thing to PCI Express 4. Like, I did all this stuff, and he, like, I think you had showed me a picture, and I was like, it was Ryan had the card in a vertical GPU mounts with the riser cable. And I go, hey Ryan, what riser cable is that a Gen 4 or Gen 3?
Well, goes, that was after I had already got it working, but yes.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, that's a Gen 3. I'm like, that's the reason right there.
Yeah So taking a couple steps back, like, it was one of those deals where it's like, I got the card and it's like sitting there and I want to use it so bad, but my build was a hard tubed custom water cooling loop, so I can't just like swap video cards out in half an hour, right? It's tear the whole loop apart, you know, drain it, get everything out, figure out what cooler I'm going to use on my CPU, get that swapped out. I had to swap out a power supply, and then, you know, get the card in. And I'm having that issue in that vertical riser, you know, not realizing that, yeah, it's a, I forgot that it's a 3.0 riser. So then I had to tear apart my water blocked 2070 super to find the old, you know, heat sink and fans, get that all put back together. Thankfully I had thermal pads still on the cooler that I could use, man, to put that card back together, slap it in there, and then it's working and I'm like, what the hell? And, you know, obviously
I feel like you made it a lot harder
for I absolutely did. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to bypass this riser. Let's put it right into the motherboard and see what happens. And it was like, boom, going. And I was like, wait a second, this riser cable.
Also, I have to say that Ryan showed me a picture of his PC and it looked like it had not been cleaned in a very long time.
Well, it hadn't. Yeah.
I, How?
But it was not anywhere close to the pictures we post for like worst setup.
True. But it was not
dusty.
Great.
It's dusty. No.
Yeah, it's still not great. I assume your hat, you went from a 2070 to a 5080.
Yeah, 2070 Super to 5080. Everything I've played has been great. I just haven't been able to like sit there and enjoy it. I haven't played any like current AAA titles to like, you know, really take a look at it, you know? So I'm excited to get some free time at some point, who knows when, to really enjoy the card.
Nice. Yeah. It is a big card though too, huh?
It is enormous. Like the case I have it in the Inwin 925. And I mean, it's taking up all the space in there.
Yeah.
So,
Well, I bought some new tech and I spent a lot for like what it is, I feel.
What'd you buy? Oh,
I bought an iPad. So my biggest thing, so like I have a big trip coming up. I haven't told anybody, but I'm going to Taiwan in May and I have like a very long flight. And I biggest thing on flight is like movies, but I also want to do some work. And just like I have a couple like thin and light laptops and they're just, I don't know what's happened to them, but one, they sound like a jet engine when they're on for some reason. I have no clue why anymore. And like their expected battery life versus like real life battery life when I'm doing nothing except for like just browsing the internet is not great. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
And I was like, I need to either get a new laptop, but I also like the ability of something that's like small, compact, really good battery life, very good user experience. And I had an iPad Pro forever. Like the iPad Pro that I had wasn't even type C, it was Lightning. So that's how old it is. I've had it for like 8 or 9 years, a very long time. It's like new iPad was just announced, M3 chip, which is like really good. And I was like, should I do it? should I buy it? Cause I get a lot of tech for free. It's like, if you guys don't know, like I was like, buying tech for me is like not, I don't buy a whole lot of tech. Right. But I was like, you know what? Like if it lasts me just as long, 8 years, like that's good. So I got the 11-inch iPad Air with the M3 chip. And I got this Logitech keyboard, that like attaches and everything right here.
Nice.
And I've been using it a lot the past week and a half. And I have to say, the user experience so far is far better than a Windows-based laptop.
Okay.
Now, I haven't done any video editing. I've done photo editing, no problem. I haven't done any video editing. And again, video editing is going to be different because like this isn't like a Mac. This is iPad OS, so it's going to be different. And I'm not, but I didn't buy this.
That's not what you bought it for. Right.
That's not what I bought it for. But overall, the experience has been great. And I think for a lot of people, this is far better than a laptop if you don't need to do anything that's like, I mean, you can do all of your like office and things like that.
Yeah.
But if that's all you have to do, web browsing, emails, writing, productivity stuff, like I think this is so far, this is a much better experience. And again, like I have it in the case, but it's still like, it's tiny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like excellent battery life. I can obviously charge it type C. And they've like on my old iPad, like I tried to do the mouse thing. Like this is so easy, like connecting the mouse via Bluetooth. It works. There's no latency and everything. Like it's, I don't know. I'm very happy with it so far. So, but it was like close to $1,000. So it was.
Yeah.
I got the one.
But if you're gonna get like your last one, 8 years out of it, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like that's a reason. And I was like, I'm going to use this, and it's going to make the experience so much better, for me in general. Whether I'm traveling, whether like it's the end of the day, and like if I go to like a, so that was the biggest thing too. Even though I have like great laptops that are supposed to have great battery life, like I would want to go and work from like a cafe that's like right by the beach because I live in San Diego. Like I want to go do that. And it's like, I have a fully charged Windows 11 laptop. I open it up and I'm just like, I have Chrome open and maybe like Photoshop doing some editing, like photo edit, like whatever, like nothing crazy. And my battery would say like an hour and a half. And I'm like, wait, what? And I have it on like battery saver. Like I have it, I've been doing all the right things.
Now you got to bring an external battery when you go out there.
Yeah. But in general, super happy. We'll definitely do some updates. I might do some videos on this because it's been great. As a typical Windows laptop user for years, it's mm-hmm. a nice upgrade. Gravity Hammer Bro in the chat said upgrading to a new GPU would be great if certain devs optimize. I think that's one of the biggest things, and I think that's why you're seeing the DLSS override and stuff in the driver, because I think NVIDIA is, and then you'll see more of that where like it's all going to be very much driver based, you know. Now you're not going to get crazy, I don't think you're going to get crazy optimization that way, but a lot of things that you would set in the game are now going to be set on the driver level. But so many games, I think it's because like there's actually documentaries on game releases and what do they call that? The crunch or whatever. The crunch,
yeah.
And how bad it is. And so I think that's the big reason that they're not optimized. And it's just, and again, once the game comes out and a new GPU comes out, like the devs don't necessarily want to
work. Like, I'm done with this thing.
Yeah. So, it just happens. But yeah, that can definitely be a thing. But talking about games, we are going to be gaming here over on Twitch. That's where we do our gaming stream. Ryan runs that stream. I told Ryan that I would play Marvel Rivals tonight, so we'll be playing that all night over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. If you want to continue hanging out with us there, that is where we'll be. Thanks, everybody in the chat. George was in the chat. Gravity Hammer Bro, and of course, Old Man the Chat. And of course, everybody that listens later, we definitely appreciate you. And we'll see you guys in the next one.